This is Software Indie. My name is Scotty, and we're going to continue with our series of interviews with Rob Ryan from Martian Craft. How are you doing, Rob?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I am doing very good. Now, in case people have just come in halfway through this series, just tell people who you are.
I am the CEO and co-founder of Martian Craft.
And you've recently released a product called Briefs, and we've been discussing some of the business parts of that journey. So just so everybody's in the picture, just tell people what Briefs is.
Briefs is an application for designers and people who have ideas for mobile applications to visually build things that they can run on the device, prototypes, things basically just connecting images and doing some animations. It's a way for people to communicate on the tool without actually writing any code.
And it's a cool tool. So we're going to talk today about trials, having trial versions of your software, giving people the chance to try it out before they buy it. Now, Briefs is a Mac app, and so it's available on the Mac App Store, which doesn't have trials in its own right. So we will discuss pros and cons of that as well. But really, you know, no matter what platform you're developing for, be it Windows or Linux or whatever else, let's just discuss trials in general as well. So kick us off. What is it that, you know, was it ever a question that you were going to do a trial, or did you have to justify it to yourself, and how did you do that, or was it always going to be an obvious choice for you?
No, it was an obvious choice from the beginning. I think the first point we knew, and I guess the prerequisite listening is you should listen to the version of this where we talk about that it's a $199 tool on the store, because that was really the big driver for it, is that I think it reaches a certain point where you're no longer an impulse purchase for people, and you're no longer a purchase that people want to make in the blind. The first instance of this I saw was, I think it was last year when Paint Code was released. It's an application that allows you to draw, you know, circles and shapes and do gradients, and it will export. It'll give you the outputted code and core graphics to then take that, put it into your application and run it. It was, I think, a $99 tool when it released. And I mean, it's a great tool. It's a great value. If you need it, the moment you need it, it immediately justifies its price. But a lot of people were hesitant to try it because the only way to get it was through the Mac App Store. And the only way to try it through the Mac App Store was to pay $100 for it. And there were a lot of people, they got a lot of pushback when they released that they didn't have a trial. And they, you know, they kind of went back and forth. I think originally they said they weren't going to have a trial, and then they came back very quickly after that and said, no, there will be a trial. We're working on it. Trials are a bit of work, especially if you're distributing on the Mac App Store, because there's ultimately, you kind of have to branch your code, because there's certain things you can do on the Mac App Store that you can't do in your own code, and then vice versa. There's plenty of things you can do that you're not allowed to do on the Mac App Store. A great example of this is auto-updating your software. If you distribute through the Mac App Store, your software is auto-updated for you through the Mac App Store, and they handle updates. If you're in your trial, most people use Sparkle, which is a framework that was built by Annie Matuschek. I'm going to just butcher his name.
Matuschek.
He's a brilliant developer now working for Apple. And he built this framework eons ago. I mean, it's been around, I want to say, for like 10 or 15 years. And it's essentially the standard. It's what everybody uses to update their software, but you can't get an app approved on the Mac App Store with the software in there. So you need to branch your code. You need to have two different targets, a Mac App Store target and a trial target to do it. So it's a bit of work. It's a tricky amount of programming. My build engineer, Patrick, is much better suited to go in that discussion of the various things that you need to do to support that. But it's a non-obvious decision from a technical standpoint. But I think when you want to charge any amount of money for your product, you need to have a free trial available for people to test your app. So for us, it was never a question. We were always going to have a trial. And actually, because of the trial, we also went ahead and implemented our own store, our direct sales store, so that we could sell the software. Because we were going through all of the effort to build a trial version, we might as well build a version for people who don't want to buy through the Mac App Store. There's a non-trivial amount of users that would prefer a non-Mac App Store means to get the app. And then when you consider sandboxing and other things, there are things that you can expose in the non-Mac App Store version as well. So people who would want to purchase that thing purchased through the store. So it was always a question. We were always going to have a trial.
So now the trial you've done for Briefs, I think you've said on an earlier episode, is a trial that doesn't expire. So I'm assuming that means you have some limited functionality or something of that nature. So maybe can we discuss the process you went through to decide what type of trial to do?
Yes. So there's kind of trials break down in a couple different ways. You can have a trial that has a what we call a time bomb. Where it will expire after a period of time, 7 days, 14 days, 30 days, 2 hours, whatever you determine. From the moment you first launch it, you're kind of keeping track of the time, and then it'll expire. And the idea is that when it expires, then they have to purchase it to keep using the software. This is by far the most popular version of trial. I had been kind of following something that Rogue Amoeba has been doing. We're actually using Rogue Amoeba software right now, Audio Hijack Pro, to record this. But they have another app called Fission. And they did something interesting with Fission midway through. Originally, it was an expiring trial like everybody else's. And I've heard from plenty of developers that say what happens is you launch your tool and then the period of time after your trial expires, you get this big influx of sales that you actually don't get a spike at the beginning because everybody, you know, most people are first motivated to buy it when the trial expires. And what Paul Kafasis wanted to do was try and find what they found is that they experimented with Fission and found out that instead of doing a trial expiration, they allowed you to use Fission, edit audio, but then when you went to export it, they would put random volume changes and pauses and actually infuse static into the recording. So you could still get a feel for how the software worked. You could export the product, but if you wanted to export something over a certain length of time, it would add the static and these random fade in and fade outs. You could still get an idea for the quality because it would only do it in certain places. But they did this instead for their trial. So they were actually, you know, kind of affecting it on export. And what he found is that it actually improves sales. Because what happens to a lot of people at time trials is that the tool first comes out, you look at it and you're like, oh yeah, I want to use this tool. And you open it the first time and then you get distracted and you close it and you don't come back for 30 days or some indefinite period of time. And then you come back, you launch the tool and it doesn't work. And now you're forced with the decision of either, am I going to purchase it based on that 5 second intro I had in the beginning on the first day, or do I just forget about it altogether? And what most people do in that case is they forget about it altogether. And so by not having an expiring trial, people can use it at their leisure and they can use it as much as they want. And then when they decide this tool is right for me, they can make that purchase. And what he found is that that period of time is not very long, that usually people make that distinguishment in a couple of hours, you know, or maybe over the course of a couple of days. So what they were seeing is they were actually seeing more steady sales and increased sales because people were making that decision quicker because they weren't getting the full power of the system. They had enough to give them an idea of how capable it was, but not enough to really realize that potential. And so they would make that determination and then, you know, they had their purchase decision. And so based on that experiment, I wanted to try something similar with Briefs. Because Briefs was a $200 application, I felt like we wanted to give people as much opportunity to try it and use it as they could before they made that decision. And so what we decided to do is because Brief is content and you're creating content, we just put limitations on the content that you could create. So our trial is set up so that you can create a brief of up to 10 scenes with just one timeline. So you could create an iPhone brief, you could create an iPad brief, but you couldn't create an iPhone and an iPad brief together. And then we limit how many files you can save. So essentially you have two briefs that you can create, that you can write to. So you could create an iPhone brief and an iPad brief, and there would be two separate files instead of consolidated. And we limit you in that way. So it's very subtle. You can still use all of the features of the app. So Briefs Live works. You can also open larger briefs that exceed these limitations, but you can't save them. You can make changes to them, and then we won't allow you to save them when we warn you at the beginning. And the idea, again, was to give someone an idea. So, like, you could look at a larger brief to see something more complex that someone had done. You could run it. You could do all these things. You just couldn't save any changes or alter it in any way. So it gives you an idea for the power of the tool without forcing a timeline on you. And so that was really important, I felt like, with the price of the tool. And it was really how we justified having a $200 tool. Is it's like, yeah, it is an expensive tool and people are upset about it. But then immediately it's like, here's a non-expiring trial. And something about telling them that the trial doesn't expire engendered joy with – like they felt like we were giving them something extra. Like we weren't rushing them. You know, and there's this sense that, you know, the going back to our car metaphor from earlier, the idea of the used car salesman who's trying to force you to leave the lot with a new car. They don't, you know, they're very it's a sales pitch based on pressure. And over time, people have resisted that. People don't like feeling pressure. They want to make the decision in their own time. And so by removing that trial, they got to use the app at their leisure. And so they can open it up, and if they don't open it up for another 30 days, they open it up 30 days, it works exactly the same as it did that, you know, on day one when they first downloaded it. And so it's kind of a long tail of development or a long tail of sales. And I think that's important for a tool like Briefs because it's not an impulse buy. Because it's so much money, people need to consider and think about it. We wanted to give them as much time as possible to think about it. And I think in the end, it will net more sales because of that, because people won't just walk away frustrated. Some people could argue when you get to the end of the trial, more people will buy it because they're forced to buy it. And that's the only option they have to keep trying it. But I feel like that gets into a situation we touched on a little bit in the last one where you're getting customers who are not completely satisfied with your tool from the beginning. Before they, because they feel like they were forced into a decision, or they made a decision just because, well, it wasn't that much money. So with our case, it's more we're forcing them now with a time bomb trial. We would be forcing them to buy a $200 app just to keep trying it, just to keep seeing if it was worthwhile. I want people when they push that buy button to know what they're getting, and to feel like they're. Is intrinsic value in the tool that they're receiving the moment they hit the buy button. And so the reality of that was we had to have a trial that wasn't time gated.
So, I mean, this obviously, it's customer support costs a lot of money.
Yes.
So if you're getting people buying your app who, because they thought this is what it was, or they only got this far in the trial, that's only going to end up in support. Whereas you're saying by allowing them to get as far as they need to get before they buy, you're probably going to be reducing that as well. So how does it work for you? Because you can have a limited number of scenes. Sometimes people say, oh, well, it actually works great with 10 scenes, but I've no idea how it works with 400 scenes and doing it in this way and this way. Do you get any issues with that because you're actually limiting volume as opposed to time?
We haven't had any issues yet. We're starting to see some feedback where I think people are realizing what the size of these briefs are going to be. We're exploring it right now. We had a support request this morning that we're looking at where there might be something with – they added so many kilobytes, so many hundreds of kilobytes of images into the brief, but the brief is several megabytes. And so they want to know why. It seems like we're adding a lot of information in there. So we're exploring them. It may be a bug, but what we found in our testing is these bigger briefs, especially when you add iPad timelines and the retina of a retina size, these things start to get big. And I think we see some feedback around the bigger file sizes, but because we don't have any sharing or publishing platform right now, the file sizes is not as huge an issue. It really just comes to play when they go to email it to someone. They're going to hit their, you know, their email data limits. But, you know, we live in an era of Dropbox and other easy sharing methods. So I think I don't see it as a huge issue initially. But we haven't gotten too many requests. Now that I've said that, we're going to get snowballed with requests about it. But interesting to support that you mentioned. It was the thing I didn't mention earlier with the trial is that the trial does create support. So, you know, even though our current user audience is measured in the hundreds of people that have actually paid for it, the people trying the tool are measured in the thousands, the tens of thousands, we actually believe, based on download numbers we're seeing. And so we're not supporting hundreds of users that pay for the tool. We're actually supporting tens of thousands of users that are trying the tool at the moment. But related to support in that angle, by having a time bomb trial, you run into the issue of support where if you aren't on top of your support game and you're not responding very promptly to support, they could have a question or request that you don't get to in the time before your app expires, before the trial expires. And so now you've got two support problems instead of one. And so by allowing people to work and explore at their leisure, it also allows us to respond in turn to these support requests without worry of, well, I've got to get this answer to them in a certain amount of time because their trial's going to run out. We're not fighting the clock there. So I think it's certainly a more humane trial to do it that way. And I think it's better in the long run from a support standpoint.
That's interesting. I've never heard a trial called a humane trial before. So that's
well, I can't think of his. I'm totally drawing a blank on the designer's name. It'll come to me later. But yeah, there's the idea of the humane interface that people talk about, and they talk about design having humanity. I think, again, something like a trial, like your price, is part of your design. It's part of the experience of your app, and giving them something that's more, I feel that idea of not rushing them, not forcing them into making a decision, I feel that's more humane in the long run. I guess that's where it's coming from, but maybe it does sound silly to say it that way.
No, that's been great. Thank you very much, Rob. Just tell people where they can follow you and find out more about you.
They can follow me on Twitter and app.net. I am Captain Taco, CaptTaco. They can find out more about Briefs at giveabrief.com, and they can follow Briefs on Twitter if they want to see news and updates and ask questions at Briefs App, BRIEFSAPP on Twitter.
This has been Software Indie. My name is Scotty. Please check out our blog as well at softwareindie.com. And until next time, you take care. We'll be right back.